Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to BBS Radio. I am your hostess for the Higher Dimensions, Phyllis Pricer. I'm glad to hear that we have a wonderful guest today. We're having a little phone problem, which is why we're having the issues we do today. Not sure what that's all about. But, hello?
Hello.
You're there. Okay. All of a sudden, everything went out. At any rate, I'm glad to see that you're here, Kelly Lynn, and I'm glad to talk to you. I have a very hard time hearing for you. If you could just speak up, that would be just delightful. I don't know what it is, but sometimes things happen for a reason, and I don't know what they are. But I'm glad to welcome you, and for those who can hear me, Kelly Lynn is a spiritual life coach. She is also an ordained minister, and she's the founder of the Ultimate Gift Foundation, which is a nonprofit organization, the mission of which is to build a seven-raised ranch, a school for all children in need of guidance and nurturance that lifts them to their greatest potential. At any rate, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You sound much better now. At least I can hear you somewhat. I don't know that we'll be able to take calls, ladies and gentlemen, today because of the telephone issues, probably from my line. I can hardly hear anybody anyway. But Kelly Lynn, can you please tell us a little bit more about you and your life's work and what you hope to accomplish?
Well, I just launched my school. It's called the Journey Home School of Ascension.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're doing at the school is we're helping people find their greatest life.
Mm-hmm.
We're helping people heal their past, be mm-hmm. free from their past, and create the life that they choose to have. And it's about discovering your inner gift, your purpose in life,
mm-hmm.
and helping you fulfill your destiny.
Okay. That sounds wonderful. How did you get into this work? Is it something that has come over time? Is it something you've done for a child? Did you have what I call the aha moment? How did this come about?
Well, I've always wanted to help other people. You know, I as a little girl, wanted to be a social worker, and as a little girl, mm-hmm. I was always talking and working with, you know, my guides, and they were always guiding me and teaching me, and I always found that I could see into people, into their soul and their heart and their beauty and their divine essence.
Mm-hmm.
And I oftentimes, it was a liability for me because I couldn't really see their personality self or how they saw themselves. I would really only see their potential and their gifts and their beauty.
Mm-hmm.
And it puzzled me why other people didn't see that about themselves.
Mm-hmm.
They saw themselves completely different.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was set about a course, you know, of trying to understand why there were seemingly two different parts to people.
Mm-hmm.
How they perceived themselves and mm-hmm. how I was perceiving them.
Mm-hmm.
And through the years of study and research and travel and my own journey, I found that I was seeing their soul self, their true self, and I wanted to help them also see that and experience that and help them find what's
mm-hmm.
unique about their self.
Mm-hmm. So you have been seeing, basically, and talking with your angels and guides since you were a small child.
Yes.
Okay. Do you think most children do that?
Well, you know, I absolutely believe that. You know, we, you know, when we're small children, we're closer to God than we are, you know, entrenched in the illusionary world, if you will. And we're more natural, and we don't know yet to close it down, and we don't know yet that
mm-hmm.
we should be doing that in this world, in this paradigm. So
mm-hmm.
I think it's a very natural thing to,
mm-hmm.
you know, connect, be connected, and
mm-hmm.
and to hear,
mm-hmm. okay.
and to see, and be connected with the other side.
Okay.
It's just that most children, you know, our society is afraid of it. We don't understand it, and for generation after generation, we're taught, you know, oh, that's just their imagination, or, you know, don't be silly, or, you
mm-hmm.
know, you know, those are just imaginary playmates, or, you know, so we're really taught
mm-hmm.
to close that down.
Okay. Well, I have, too, noticed that children do, but a lot of children are afraid. You know, they talk about angels to, what, about three or four, And then they shut down, I guess, because people make fun of them or their friends make fun of them out of ignorance, or at least they used to. It may be more acceptable now than it used to be.
Well, let's hope. I don't, it's kind of like a clash, you know. Our school system, unfortunately, had a, you know, is under such pressure to have test results and, you know, such large classrooms. And the children aren't really being nurtured to, you know, express their creativity and their individuality.
Yeah.
They really are just kind of asked to be kind of cookie cutter, learn by rote, and don't be an individual.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that natural innate curiosity and creativity and imagination and intuition kind of gets shut down by the process.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why we're, you know, creating the Seven Rays Ranch for the children, is to help them open that back up or keep it back open, keep it open, to express themselves with creativity and curiosity and with joy and intuition.
Yeah, you know, sort of like you have to cover the lines. You can't go outside the lines and create something new and different.
Right.
Yeah. So you have been working towards this for a long time, I understand. With the book, The Ultimate Gift, tell me about that.
I was living in India for a while, and when I returned, I had a dream that I was to do a 40-day, 40-night cleanse. It's type of a fast cleanse. It's a cleansing fast, if you will, where you don't eat food, but you just kind of drink this natural lemon and water and maple syrup.
Mm-hmm.
So I did this for 40 days and 40 nights, and during that time, I wrote this book, and it's called The Ultimate Gift is Within You. And the first half of the book is the story of my life. It's kind of my journey and my process and the things that I've learned along the way. And the second half was how to help everybody, how to help you find your path and your voice and what your beliefs are and what brings you joy in life and what is your destiny and how can you fulfill that. Well, I ended up taking the second half of the book, and I created our 3-month program for our Journey Home School of Ascension from that program. And that's what we're offering at www.thejourneyhomeschool.com. I really invite everybody to come take a look. It's very powerful, and it's very life-changing.
Okay. So you deal basically with teaching the Ascension process and what the reason the children are born here on Earth and what they are supposed to follow. Is that it?
Could you repeat the last part?
To meet their ultimate goal?
I'm sorry, could you repeat the last part?
And you teach in your school, you say children. You teach adults also, don't you?
The Journey Home School of Ascension is for adults.
It is for adults.
Yeah, and our nonprofit organization, the Seven Rays Ranch, is for children.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, and so this is basically to teach children part of the Ascension process and to find out what it is they have come to do, specifically on this earth plane, their particular gifts to manifest?
Absolutely. You know, we all came here for a purpose. We all have a piece of the tapestry of life, if you will. We all have a unique vibration and unique abilities and a unique essence of God that we're expressing in this world.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, our job, our mission, if you will, is to be that fully, to be fully your essence. And in doing that, you are going to find how you are a unique part of this world, and you will discover what your destiny is to fulfill.
Right.
Because everybody feels, you know, I'm sure, you know, people feel like, you know, I've got a 9-to-5 job, I'm punching the clock, living paycheck to paycheck, you know, but there's got to be something more. You know, I know that there's something more. There's got to be, why am I here? You know, what is the purpose of life? You know, isn't there something more to this?
Yeah, that people are saying so much often, I've gotten this far in life and that's all there is.
Mm-hmm.
And they do start on this soul search themselves. Is that correct?
Absolutely.
And this is to help facilitate that search.
Absolutely.
Okay, to find out what is more within them. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
And go ahead. And your organization is located where?
our nonprofit, you can see our vision at www.7raysranch.com, and you can watch our 7-minute video that really shows our vision. You can see the site, and it'll mm-hmm. tell you everything about it. And the location, we're in the fundraising stage.
Mm-hmm.
We have the property selected. It's in La Luz Canyon in New Mexico, and it's a beautiful, sacred place. It's surrounded by national forest, so we have complete privacy and nature and oneness with nature there.
Mm-hmm.
It's 160 acres, and we're going to have, you know, equine therapy with rescued horses and a music studio for creativity and self-expression, and we're going to have, you know, healing modalities and meditations, and it's all denominational. And, it's in the beautiful, you know, Phyllis, it looks like out here in Ruidoso, La Luz, where we live, it looks like a little bit of Colorado had just kind of dropped itself right here in the middle of New Mexico.
Hmm.
It's gorgeous.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sounds lovely.
Yeah.
It is. That area is beautiful in New Mexico, isn't it?
Yeah, New Mexico is a lot of flat and high and mesas and desert, and so this is kind of a unique spot. It's 7,200 feet in altitude and,
mm-hmm.
and surrounded by beautiful trees and bear and deer, and I mean the deer
everything
are so
is just
friendly.
Glorious. Hmm?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Now you first got this idea, and have you been receiving information on all along on how this is to come about? I mean, are you being guided?
Absolutely.
Frequently,
you know,
on where to go, what to do. Is the information practical rather than what I call the airy-fairy type? You know, it's nice to have lovely ideas and concepts, but practicality on this earth plane is very important in order for our manifestations to come through.
Oh, absolutely.
So you're getting guidance, is that it?
It's almost too practical for me. I'm so used to, you know, I've lived in Sedona for many years. And we just relocated from Sedona to move here because this is where we're meant to be, where we're meant to anchor in
uh-huh.
the energy of the ranch, if you will. But yeah, in Sedona, I was a spiritual life counselor, and you know, we lived in the land of airy fairy, and I was able to really go there and enjoy
mm-hmm.
being that. But yeah, since we've really started the nonprofit organization, it's quite a left brain, you know, business plans and budget summaries and, you know, board members, you know, the information that I'm getting is absolutely, you know, about the horses, about the multimedia studio, and about the healing buildings, and the services
mm-hmm.
that we'll offer, and organic gardening to grow our own food, and totally green, 100% green, living in harmony and balance with the
environment. You'll have to talk louder again, honey. I'm losing a lot of what you're saying.
Okay, sorry.
I'm sorry. It's this connection. It's so bad today. Usually it's as clear as a bell. Today it is awful.
Mm,
but
yeah.
I'm so
I kind of have a hard time hearing you too.
You have a hard time hearing me too.
Yeah, it's kind of muffled and
sorry. we're both good. It's a good thing we have phone calls ahead of time to discuss this. Am I right?
Yes.
Oh well, this too shall. At any rate, tell us a little bit more about you and where you come from. I know you prefer to talk about what you have in your own life and what you're doing with your life, but I think this is very important that we talk about who you are, because it's very important to realize you are one person, and you feel also that we're all pretty much given the opportunity to find out what it is we're supposed to do in our lifetimes. And it's a matter of tuning into ourselves, anything along those lines, that things that gave you an inkling when you were small, what you were supposed to do when you were older.
When I was a little girl, I was always rescuing other kids. I was always helping them figure out how to deal with the situations that they were in, you know, abuse and things like that. And it just came natural to me. I was always the kind of child that, you know, I would run into a highway to rescue a turtle because or an animal, because for me there's just no difference between an animal and a human. I mean,
there's no difference between an animal and a human. Okay.
Yeah, I feel like we're all, you know, God's creations, and suffering is suffering, whether it's done to a four-legged furry being or, you know, to a two-legged, you know, human being. So
mm-hmm.
I've always been one of those very, very intuitive, very sensitive. I always I always thought that I had missed the boat. I couldn't figure out this world for the life of me. I felt like everybody else heard the drum beat, and I couldn't hear it. And so I shut myself down to try to adapt, to try to hear what people were hearing and think the way that other people were thinking and do as other people were doing, because I thought that I was the one that didn't get it. And it took quite a few years before I realized that, no, actually, I'm pretty connected, and I do have, you know, my wisdom, and I do have my understandings, and I want to share that, and I want to help other people find their connection, because my connection brings me joy and peace, and, you know, it's great fun, and so I want to help other people find that for themselves.
Why is it so important for people to become aware of what is happening in our world and of working towards the seven rays and what are the seven rays and the ascension process? Why is that so very important now, here at this time?
Well, you know, as you know, Phyllis, we're going to the age of enlightenment where we're all awakening. This planet, it can get pretty technical in the explanation. You know, this planet was originally meant to be a place where we celebrate diversity and, you know, where we are intuitive beings and we are, you know, joyfully living our truth. But this planet took a wrong turn. There were some beings, if you will, in charge of our planetary consciousness.
Beings, you say?
Pardon?
There are beings in charge of our planetary consciousness?
Yes.
Okay, and are those beings we would refer to as ETs, or are they people, or certain people here on the Earth plane, or is it both?
They're not considered ETs, and they're not physically embodied, and they were actually fired, if you will, because they had taken this Earth plane and the consciousness and the to a place of illusion and fear and control base. You know, and they were just, they're just beings. It's like your guides or your angels. It's, you know, they're just beings, you know, because we're much more than just a physical body. You know, we're souls. And there's trillions and trillions of souls in all the universes. And 99% of them are benevolent and kind and, you know, filled with light and love.
What we would consider evil?
There are some that have different agendas that refute, you know, that have stepped away from the light, if you will, or have tried to separate themselves for their own agendas. And that's kind of what happened here. You know, there's the beings that were initially in charge of this beautiful, diverse planet kind of wanted the power and control and separated us from the consciousness of love. And that's why it's called illusion or Maya or the veil. That's where that all came in. And the divine creator, you know, we had gone through such a dark path and have gone so far away from the core and the truth of source that we've had divine intervention. And our creator said, no, this planet had been taken off course and has left the divine blueprint, if you will, and it needs to be returned back to the path of which it was meant to be. And so that's what's happening now in this age of awakening. We are removing the illusion, we are removing the Maya, the duality, and the fear-based consciousness that is here and is in its death throes, I'm happy to say, and we are awakening. There's more light here than ever. There are more beings and masters of love here than ever before. There are children being born. If you've heard of the indigo children and the crystal children and the dolphin children, and these beautiful old souls are being born into this world to help us change this world and put it back on track to one of peace and diversity and harmony. And so it's really important right now because there's so much energy and there's so much light. And again, the old is kind of fighting for its very last breath, and the new light is so strong and bold and beautiful. People, it helps to understand that this dynamic is in play, that mm-hmm. we are ascending, we are returning home to our divine path as a whole human race. Because if you can understand the energy, then you can flow with it, and you don't need to fear the energy or fear what is happening. But if we don't understand what's happening, it can feel very chaotic. You can feel angry and emotional and scared and sad and really not understand why.
Mm-hmm.
So it really helps to understand that the process of awakening and ascension that all of this earth is in, so that you can go with it and embrace it and, you know, transition to your highest self with grace and ease rather than fear, pain, and struggle.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So it's a real intricate situation, isn't it? It's not easy.
No.
It's not simple.
No.
Not one size fits all.
No. No, definitely not. I always say that there's 6 billion people in this world and there's 6 billion paths back to God. You know, it's like, you know, we all have our own unique journey.
Okay.
But, thankfully, that, you know, we were kind of given a roadmap. You know, there are some universal laws, if you will. There
mm-hmm.
are some, you know, the Ten Commandments, if you will. So there are certain guidelines to steer us in the right direction, to show us the structure of how
mm-hmm.
to return back to love.
Mm-hmm. Okay. As I said, it's hard for me to get into this very much. We had a conversation a couple of weeks ago. Did you get anything else? Did anything else come out of that conversation that we can share with the audience at this time?
No, that was a great conversation. That was pretty in depth. That was
I'm sorry?
That was
a good conversation.
Felt pretty complete what we had. Our conversation a couple weeks ago felt very complete and very beautiful. For me it went full circle and I didn't get any more information about it.
Okay. Okay.
Did you have any more thoughts about it?
Yeah. What we had talked about, ladies and gentlemen, was the different reasons that we come here, and that sometimes the reasons that we are here is to carry out a promise or a contract we made, correct me if I'm wrong, maybe hundreds if not thousands of years ago. Contracts to help people or to fulfill our mission in doing our part and helping this earth be lifted up. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. And you said some of the people that are now coming back may have been those who were who were on this earth plane 1,000 years ago, maybe Knights Templar. And by the way, I had seen something in the paper recently that the Knights Templar were, it looks like an error in history was made, that the Pope at the time, Pope Clement V or III, whichever it was, I'm not sure which one he was, had said that the Knights Templar were not heretics and were not worshiping the devil and that they were not evil people, but it was simply the greed of Philip, the King of France, who wanted to get his wonderful little paws on the treasuries that were reputed to be held by the Knights Templar, so he could build up his war chest, which was pretty much depleted. And he had money problems, and there's nothing like stealing somebody else's money to take care of your own financial issues. So, you know, the church is saying that they never really did condemn the Knights Templar, even though they were responsible for the order that brought in the confiscation of goods and properties and the death of many good men. But I found it interesting after talking about our talk that would come out
mm-hmm.
in a news article. It's sort of like a confirmation
mm-hmm.
of a process, of a tie-in or coincidence or synchronicity, as we call it.
Mm-hmm.
Do you find that true in a lot of parts of your life, that synchronicity comes into play?
Absolutely, without a doubt.
Okay.
You know, I always feel like God and the universe and our souls are always talking with us, always communicating with us. You know, whether it's, you know, a book that keeps appearing in front of you, or, you know, a workshop you keep hearing about, or, you know, a feeling like you need to move someplace, or a job that just miraculously opens up just, you know, at the right moment in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
These are the ways that, you know, everything is alive, everything is consciousness, and our souls are always propelling us to toward fulfilling our destiny, you know, reaching our greatest potential. And like you said, fulfilling our contract that we had on a soul level agreed to fulfill. And so we're always being propelled toward success, toward ascension, toward enlightenment, toward, you know, the fulfillment of our purpose. And so the way, you know, sometimes because of the duality that we live in and the Maya and the veil that we live in this third dimensional earth plane can be so thick, you know, many people can't hear their soul, can't see or feel or sense their guides that are working with them, and don't feel connected to their creator or their source. And so they have to use different languages, if you will, and those are what we call synchronicities or coincidences. And really that's just our souls, you know, trying to line up and give us line up opportunities for us, trying to give us messages in ways that we can hear or see or feel. So absolutely, life is always talking and giving us feedback.
Well, it's very, very curious you would say that, because on a synchronicity bit, that's something totally outside and a part of this, okay? And that is, I went to down to a beach today that I've gone to before, to this with a friend, and we went into this old antique shop. I mean, you know, this guy puts prices on things so he doesn't have to sell them. He just likes to have stuff. At any rate, he said, by the way, there's this hat I want you to try on. And he brought out this hat, and I almost passed out because, you see, it's the same kind of hat my mother was wearing when I was 5 years old. And she was, we were coming home, and she was attacked and knocked out. And she got a blood stain on the hat, and she said it ruined her for her forever after, because she couldn't get the blood stain out. It was made of real leopard skin, back before there was this conscience about not, you know, hunting. But it was the same shape, basically. And I just looked at him, and so I told him the story. But apparently he was used to bring that back to my mind, what I had done so many years ago as a small child, and my mother and the incident she went through. And I told the police where the thief was who robbed my mother, and they eventually caught him. And it's fascinating that he would suddenly pull out the same hat in the leopard skin, and it brought back memories, and I was kind of stunned, and I would think that would be a synchronistic event.
Absolutely.
Other maybe then to say, Mom's here and listening to me or something, I don't know. I couldn't think of what good idea it was. I mean, it was not a happy idea that my mother was so badly injured.
And, it could have been, you know, you said that you helped the police find the...
Oh, yes.
And so maybe there was a message in that, in how you helped.
Yeah, because people didn't believe me, actually, then when I told them where the guy was who had robbed us. Who had beaten her and given her a concussion, actually. But the police didn't believe us, and when they found him on the tip of an adult, you know, a few months later, he was exactly where I said he was. He lived exactly where I said he lived. And
that
was very synchronistic.
Absolutely. To me, that would be a way for you to, you know, how would I perceive that would be that, you know, your soul is saying you can trust your intuition, you can trust the information that you're getting. Trust the guidance. Trust yourself.
Yeah, because I was very confident of myself about where that man lived. There was no question. And
even
yet,
though everybody else said that you couldn't be right. Yes.
Right. They didn't believe it because I was a small child.
Right.
So a small child told them where this guy was. And maybe that was one of these trust yourself, Phyllis. What do you think? Could that be? Is this some kind of thing the universe sends out so that if somebody gets a similar... situation arising that it's brought back to mind that this is a gentle nudge from the universe to, hey, you know, trust yourself and what happened. Because look what happened when you did this back then. This is what occurred. And so now go back to that same feeling, that same sense of confidence and sureness. Is that a possibility?
Absolutely.
Okay. Go ahead.
Our minds are like big file cabinets, and even there's things in our mind or our subconscious mind, our, you know, that we don't have a clue is in there. We may have forgotten. We may not have realized it was put into our filing systems and in our subconscious data bank.
Mm-hmm.
And but our guides and our souls and our angels that are helping us are very aware of everything that's in our database. And when they need to invoke a certain memory or a certain understanding or a certain emotion or awareness, they can pull out a file, if you will, from your subconscious mind and have it play out in front of you in order to give you a message or a feeling or an awareness.
Yeah, and it was just so very synchronistic. I mean, I had no clue a hat like that was still existing.
Absolutely.
In fact, I never considered to look for one or consider it, and so for this man to pull it out and say, you should wear this, and it would look really stylish on you, it suits you. I said, whoa, wait a minute. I almost thought, have you been peeking in my closet? The closet of my mind, sir?
Exactly.
Well, things like this, I think, are very important for people to understand, I think, from the standpoint of the subtlety of the mind and the subtlety of the universe, because there was no way on earth I could logically know that that particular shop would have that particular hat.
Right.
Which has got to be close to 50 years old, by the way, that hat.
Right.
All right, and it's, it's illegal to sell it new nowadays, but that hat has got to be close to that age.
Right.
But the thing is, the probability of my walking to a has to be really astronomical.
Right.
And so I think the listening audience has to understand that very often the universe talks to us not with a 2x4 firmly planted over our head, but in a much more subtle language.
Mm-hmm.
One that should not terrify us. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because it's a very kind of benevolent universe. It's based in love and, again, helping us to hear and see and understand what will help us in that moment and serve us.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
So, yeah, our guides know if we're scared of, hearing things or seeing things, and so, they'll use very human ways to
mm-hmm.
talk with us. Absolutely. I remember one time my husband and I, many years ago, we were living in Minnesota, and we were just coming back from a camping trip in Colorado and going through the Badlands in South Dakota, and around the Badlands there's nothing there, and
I heard that it's pretty barren.
Oh, but they're beautiful, they're amazing.
I mean, they're gorgeous, but that's why they're called the Badlands.
Yes. Exactly.
Part of the reason anyway.
Exactly. And we were just driving along the highway after we passed through the Badlands, and all of a sudden our vehicle came to a roaring stop. And, something went wrong with the engine. And so my husband and I were about ready to go, hike up to the next exit ramp of the highway to phone for a tow truck, which we did. And the tow truck came. And thankfully, right off that exit ramp was a tiny little town with one motel and one car service garage.
Every town has one, right?
So We they towed us into this town, they towed our car into the garage,
mm-hmm.
and they said that, they'd have to order a couple parts and it would maybe take overnight. So we tucked ourselves in, signed ourselves into the motel. And you know what, folks? There was nothing to read and nothing to do in that town,
mm-hmm.
obviously. And there was nothing to read except this one magazine.
One what?
There was this one magazine.
Okay.
That was all about New Mexico.
Ah.
And so all my husband and I had to do during, and then the part, they sent the wrong part. And so we ended up spending 3 days there and looking over the same magazine over and over and over again. And it was in that moment when we really got the feeling that we were meant to move to New Mexico and start, and we were being guided there.
Hmm.
And so, we came here, our friends were having a seminar and a workshop, and we came for the 3 days in Sedona, and we're meaning,
uh-huh.
And we're meaning to spend the next 7 days in Santa Fe looking to see if we wanted to live there and move there. But on the third day of the end of the workshop, on the third day, we were sitting on our hotel room bed, and all of a sudden I heard so loudly in my head, I said, you will move to Sedona, and you will open up an Ascension Center. And it boomed in my head, and like, you know, the Godfather, you know.
Oh, well.
It was like a commandment. I was so surprised at how direct it was. And I told my husband this, and he said, well, you know, let's just stay here a couple more days and check it out.
Huh.
And I had a vision that I had drawn out a few weeks before we took our trip. And it was a vision of this building, and I drew it out, and it was a very strange building because it was two stories. It had no ceiling on the second level. It was like an open courtyard and open walkways leading to all these rooms on the first level and the second level. And in the middle of the first level of the courtyard was a water fountain and a plant, and I heard a wind chime.
A wind chime?
A wind chime.
Oh, okay.
Singing in the wind. And I showed this vision of this building to my husband, and he said, well, you know, Kelly, they really don't have buildings like that in Sedona, you know, because they have snow. And I said, okay, well, when we were driving around Sedona, we were sitting over at a friend's house and that we were told to meet. And I pointed across the street, and I said, what is that building? And they said, well, it's an art center that some people from San Francisco were going to open into an art gallery, but they kind of ran out of funding. And so it's for sale. And my husband and I walked across the street. We walked in, and there was the open courtyard. There was no ceiling. There were all the rooms on the two stories all around the center of the courtyard. In the center of the courtyard was a water fountain and one plant. And my knees buckled. And I said, this is the building.
Wow.
And as soon as I said that, we heard wind chimes. There was one set of wind chimes, and the wind blew in that moment.
Wow.
So we moved to Sedona.
And it worked out.
And it worked out.
Wow.
You know, so, you know, there's subtle ways, and then there's really big ways when something is very, very important for you to know or for you to do.
Mm-hmm. It's very important, I know, to start listening. And sometimes we're trying to hear with what we think we should know. We pre-plan it in our minds. We build it with our minds because we're told we are powerful beings that we can create with our minds. So we create what we want. But then the universe has a different idea for us, and then we fight it tooth and nail because of, whatever reason. Because, you know, we want it our way or the highway. And I know that I get, I know I can get a little frustrated with the good Lord on occasion. That's putting it nicely. But why is it sometimes things are so subtle that we just don't get it? Why is that? Is it our ego? It is our awareness? What is it that causes this particular blind spot that we have, shall we say?
Oh, that's a complex one. That could be so many things. You know, in its simplest of forms, it could be that we're not asking or we're not willing to hear. We're not feeling, I hear often people say, well, I keep asking God for this, but I don't hear anything. I don't get any answer.
Don't feel it.
You're right.
Okay. So now we have to bring in the component that people say, I've asked for stuff, and they do it intellectually, but they don't feel it. And one of the key components is feeling. Am I right? If you do not have the emotional impetus, the passion, as I would call it, then the universe says, well, he or she really wants this.
Yeah, and also I think what's really important is to know what your destiny is, to know what your purpose is, to become in alignment with your soul contract. Because if you ask for something that is a part of your soul contract, you manifest it almost immediately, if it's an appropriate time for you to receive it. If on the other hand, you're trying to manifest something that you want or that you think you need or that you prefer to have, but if it's not in alignment with your path, it won't come. Or if it does come, it'll just bring you trouble. Because because your soul is always trying to keep you on the course of your path in fulfillment of your destiny, and doesn't want you to really get yourself sidelined with distractions and baubles.
And what about all of these things like the secret and other things wherein you are supposed to be able to ask? And the biblical injunction, seek and you shall find, ask and it shall be given unto you, knock and it shall be open unto you. I know I got that backwards at the moment, but basically that's it. And that's the belief that if you ask for it, it should be given to you because you ask, because it is your right. As a God being, to have whatever you want.
Well, yeah.
I heard a yeah, but. Yeah, but aren't allowed.
Yeah. You know, I've asked for a lot of things that I didn't get, you know.
Me too.
I don't think that's necessary. I think that might be taken a little bit too, literally. When we're asking for God to show himself, or when we're asking to know ourselves, or when we're asking for, then that's us knocking on the door. The door of wisdom, or the door of knowledge, or the door of creator, you know, and that door is always open. And that's what I think, how I interpret it, is that you knock and God is always there. You know, it's like, you know, knock and the door shall open. It's like when you seek God, the door will always open for you, you know.
Yeah, because, you know, I've asked for certain things and they're sure slow coming. And I know many people who ask for things, and they're good. And there's nothing wrong with it. It's not like, you know, we're asking to rob a bank or stumble across the dead man's gold or, you know, steal from somebody. But is that then, how do you square it with what about financial stability?
Okay,
that shouldn't be a bad thing to ask for. And
no, it's not. Well, here's an example for that one. What if Mother Teresa asked to be rich and was intending and manifesting and visualizing to be rich? Now, her destiny was to work among the poor, to be with the poor, to have compassion and empathy and live among the poor so that she could empower them and give them hope. What if she were trying to manifest instead, if she were out of tune with her soul, out of tune with her heart, her destiny, her life, her passion, and instead decided to take her life a whole different way and wanted to manifest money? And that's when it doesn't happen. That's when, you know, you ask and you get frustrated, and it's like, why isn't it here yet? You know, why isn't it working for me? Or you do get some money and you find out it's not making you happy, it's not fulfilling you, it's not really what you thought you wanted. It doesn't bring you what you thought it would. How about Helen Keller? For another example, you know, health and wellness is our birthright, as well as abundance is. But our soul contract, Helen Keller had a soul contract. And what if she were to pray, you know, for health and wholeness and wellness? You know, then when she was a child, she wouldn't have had, you know, she didn't want that sickness that left her deaf and blind. But her destiny, she wrote that into her soul's experience, her life experience. She wrote that into her contract.
Well, yeah, there is that too. But there is also then the fact that once the soul lesson is learned, one can ask, the contract is what? Fulfilled. And one can ask for healing, and healing is given.
Absolutely. When you fulfill the contract, when you've received, you know, the completion of that, when you receive the knowledge that experience had to give you, or the gifts, or the power, or whatever. Absolutely. When you're complete with something, you no longer need to continue learning it. You no longer need that experience.
But also, if you don't ask, you don't receive.
But, you know, look at what this world would be without Helen Keller. She taught millions of people with disabilities to have hope and to go beyond what they thought was possible. And that's what she agreed to. It's not a bad thing to be deaf and blind. It's not a bad thing to be poor. If you're fulfilling your destiny, whatever that may be, that joy that you feel, that peace that you feel for having lived and been true to yourself is the richness, is the wealth. That's a different kind of wealth.
Hmm.
And I know everybody's going, no, I'd rather have money, thank you. But, you know, we yeah, I'd rather have a nice car. And you know, we can chase after those things, but, you know, I think ask and all will be added unto you is about when you're living your path, when you're seeking, you know, to know yourself on the most profound level, when you're asking God, you know, what am I here for? Show me what I'm here to do. Show me what my gifts are. Show me what I'm to learn. Let me know what I need to know. Those things are given unto you. And when you seek God first, seek ye first the kingdom of God,
and then all
shall be added unto you,
mm-hmm.
then all else. It's about really keeping your focus on what is the highest good for yourself. Seeking first the kingdom of God, or, you know, I'm not part of any religion. I believe in all religions.
Right,
you know, but just paraphrasing, if I may, you know, the Bible. But, you know, the religions have the wisdom to show you how to be abundant and healthy and whole and joyful and fulfilled in your life. And so first seek out God and seek out your destiny, seek out your soul, seek out oneness, you know, in the consciousness, and then you will find peace. Then you will find happiness. Then money, you'll be attracting abundance, and you'll be attracting blessings and opportunities and beautiful things in your life.
Okay, but it is seeking the kingdom of God first, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Doing what you interpret as following what you have agreed to do in contract.
Yes.
Okay.
If I were to step off my path and say, well, no, you know, I'd rather have, you know, a BMW in a $500,000 house, you know, that's not in alignment with me. That's, you know, material things don't matter. What makes me happy is helping other people and empowering other people and helping people find their peace and joy. That's what makes me happy. So it doesn't make sense for me, you know, yeah, money's great, you know, it makes opens doors of opportunities for you.
But
I don't need a house, and I don't need a car. I don't chase after things of the material world that will leave me empty if I got them, you know?
You know how
you try to manifest something and then you get it? You know, that new job or that new haircut or that new outfit or that new purse or that new car or a home in a beautiful neighborhood, and then you get that item, and then what happens? You feel the same. You know, after the happiness... After the honeymoon, if you will, is over, you know, you're back to feeling the same. You don't feel any different. You don't feel any more better. You don't feel any more confident.
But also, you know, isn't there a portion where we can indeed request things and expect to receive them because we have done what we're supposed to do, and that it's a matter of learning to ask and receiving? Because a lot of times people don't know how to ask for things.
Very true. What I do, just to make sure that I don't take myself off my path and mess, you know, you know, I want to make sure that everything flows, like you were talking about, those synchronicities. That happens when you're in your flow. That happens when you're being aware and your, you know, your intention is to fulfill your purpose. When your intention is such, you know, then the synchronicities happen, great needs happen, and you start receiving all kinds of things. So the thing that I do is rather than thinking that I know what's best for me, I just say, you know, God, I'm open to receiving all that is for my highest good.
Okay.
I'm open to receive, and I gratefully accept all that is for my highest good.
Mm-hmm.
And then I let God decide what would best help me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because there are so many people who, especially in today's world, who are worthy and deserving from all apparent causes, and yet they are suffering a great deal. And we can even look into the current issues on the people that are suffering from the hurricane, effects of the hurricane, and those who are suffering from the effects of this awful train wreck. And one wants to have some sort of, I mean, not me personally, but others, would like to have some semblance of understanding of why it is that people suffer this. And is this part of what the understanding is, tying it into your ascension process, learning to have understandings of what this is and what we go through, and why it's important to become more aware of what is going on in our everyday life, and maybe even listen to some of the warning signals that were provided that maybe we didn't listen to.
Right. Right. For example, you know, maybe your intuition, you know, I know, you know, our prayers are with, you know, that area for sure. I heard the governor just sent chills through my bones. I just caught a brief news bit, soundbite off of CNN, and the governor was saying, you know, we are telling the people to evacuate or it could mean their life.
Yes, and they didn't.
And if you do stay, put write your Social Security number down on your arm.
Right.
That sent chills down my spine.
In other words, people chose to ignore very clear, direct information.
Right, because
and
their ego,
choice.
Maybe their ego got in the way. You know, maybe, the, you know, some wanted to ride out the storm. Some wanted to, you know, their possessions were more important than their life. Or, you know, maybe their fear of losing everything was greater than, the, you know, their guidance, you know. So
they
kind of block
what was going on.
Yes, yes. We may hear the truth, but it's up to us to decide if we choose to accept it.
Mm-hmm.
And follow through with it.
Yeah, because some people said, well, I didn't really believe it.
Right.
You know, and so, again, we're going back to an issue of free will. We can receive warnings. We can receive signs, if you will, clear-cut signs, but we have a right to ignore them. But if, in that instance, for example, if we do, then we have to be willing to assume the risk that goes along with failing to be aware of or listen to or respond to what would be considered
absolutely
an appropriate warning.
Absolutely. It's like, you know, for an example, you know, the analogy that's very popular, this earth is a school. Now imagine if you're in fifth grade, and in order to get into sixth grade and junior high, to move into the next level of growth and experience new experiences, you know, your teacher says, well, you must do this homework, you must pass these exams and take these quizzes, and you must get at least a C so that you can move on forward. You must learn these things and
mm-hmm.
show that you have learned them, and then you can move forward. Well, if I choose to, you know, if I'm that student and I choose to skip school and not do my homework and, you know, goof off in class and
mm-hmm.
whatever, and I don't pass my test, I don't get to go to the sixth grade.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we're humans, we're the same way. We can choose to follow our soul path,
mm-hmm.
and then we get to, you know, go into the next grade and the next level and the next experiences, and we can do it with grace and ease, or we can fight it and resist it by free will and say,
mm-hmm.
nope, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to follow my guidance, and I
mm-hmm.
don't want to do this, and
mm-hmm.
I want to have it my way. I'm
mm-hmm.
in control here. This is my life, and I have free will. And so you get to do that.
Okay.
But, you know, you get to, then you, like you said, you get to have the cause and effect of your choices, and then the effect would be, well, you're going to stay in fifth grade.
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because of the universal laws, just like in school, you can't
exactly.
you can't go to the sixth until you've completed the fifth. We can't go to our next experiences in life. And that's why pain and suffering is created, because our soul is saying, okay, you've been in fifth grade 3 years now. I'm going to make it really uncomfortable for you to stay in fifth so that you won't want to stay in fifth grade anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So that you'll be too uncomfortable for you to stay in fifth grade. So I'm going to make it uncomfortable for you. I'm going to
okay.
make it unpleasant for you.
Well, thank you very much. Now, I'm going to have to say we're very near the end of our time. I am so glad you were on the phone. I'm sorry, but we didn't have a better connection or that we couldn't have call-ins, because I'm sure we would have had some wonderful call-ins. But perhaps the next time we can have a better reception. Please give your contact information again, my dear, and so that those who are interested in talking to you or learning more about this can indeed contact you.
Yeah, please feel free to call me at my number at 505-336-7486.
Mm-hmm.
You can go to see the Journey Homeschool course at www.thejourneyhomeschool.com. And please come look at our our nonprofit organization for the children and rescued horses at www.7raiseranch.com.
Excellent. Thank you.
Thank you, hon.
I am so glad that you were able to come on our show today. Would you like to come back some other time when we could perhaps get a little bit more going again?
That'd be great fun.
Thank you so much.
And
thank you. For my listeners, thank you so much for tuning in today. We'll have another guest next week, one of two. I'm not sure which one is going to come in first, the horse race. And I'm Phyllis Pricer, your hostess for The Higher Dimension. You can contact me at area code 202-387-2080. And we hope you'll listen again next week. Again, Kelly Lynn, thank you so much. We'll be in touch. Thank you all. Goodbye.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye.